This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
But most Americans out at this point, except for a core group intentionally lagging behind. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, thanks for listening. If you're a first-timer, welcome. We threw out the red carpet just for you. And if you're here, you know how we roll each and every night. You can be part of this party, too. We're talking about Afghanistan and the U.S. military equipment given to Afghans now in the Taliban hands, and also a shocking report, maybe, I think it's pretty shocking, that the intelligence community warned of the military collapse, and despite the president's assurances that it was going to be all right, apparently there are classified assessments by American spy agencies that say something completely different, and we see how quickly Kabul fell, and also the other cities within a week down and in the Taliban's hands. People across this country and around the globe are still gasping at the sight of people desperate to get out of that country, so desperate they're willing to risk their life by hiding in a wheel well as part of one of the military planes taking off, and several people reportedly fell to their deaths. And now there's a little more organization at the airport, but still there are many Afghanistans who helped Americans who are on a so-called kill list. So here's what happened today when the National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan was asked questions by a group of hungry reporters about when the government knew what and what about this intelligence document, which I'm going to talk about here in a few moments, and about the efforts to get everybody out of that country that has now fallen to the Taliban. And here's what he said about drawing down and moving on people-wise. Here's what Sullivan had to say to that question.
We are engaging diplomatically at the same time with allies in regional countries and with the United Nations to address the situation in Afghanistan. We are in contact with the Taliban to ensure the safe passage of people to the airport. We are monitoring for any potential terrorist threats, as I just mentioned, including from ISIS-K. We intend to continue these operations over the coming days before completing our drawdown.
All right, so all of that is happening, as he said, as it does continue to be a drawdown. But as far as the embassy is concerned, everybody's out and on the way back. The military evacuated about 1,100 people from Afghanistan today. People are trying to compare it to Saigon, what happened in 1975. And though the pictures look similar, there are a few nuanced differences. Still very chilling and very sad again to see what's happening. And one of the questions that Sullivan was asked is about the timeline and who knew what and what was expected. And here was his response.
There are those who argue that with 2,500 forces, the number of forces in country when President Biden took office, we could have sustained a stable, peaceful Afghanistan. That is simply wrong. The previous administration drew down from 15,000 troops to 2,500 troops. And even at 15,000, the Afghan government forces were losing ground. What has unfolded over the past month has proven decisively that it would have taken a significant American troop presence, multiple times greater than what President Biden was handed, to stop a Taliban onslaught.
All right, so now Kabul, of course, is Taliban-controlled, as we've mentioned over and over again. The classified assessment that came out by July, many intelligence reports were pretty pessimistic, questioning whether any Afghan security forces would be able to muster serious resistance against what the Taliban was going to throw down, and whether the government could hold on to Kabul, the capital, of course. President Biden said back on July 8th that the Afghan government was unlikely to fall and that there would be no chaotic evacuations of Americans similar to the end of the Vietnam War. He's very specific about that. And so that's why I think it was so shocking at how quickly it fell. But there were a lot of warnings over the summer and a lot of questions about why Biden administration officials and the military planners in Afghanistan weren't prepared to, or were ill-prepared, might be the better way to say it, to deal with the final push by the Taliban into the capital city, including a massive failure to ensure security at the main airport and rushing thousands more troops back to the country to protect the United States' final exit, again, when so much was made about how many troops were there and how many were being withdrawn and what was happening. So looking at the intelligence report, there were a lot of decisions that were made before July when the consensus was that, among some, that the government could hang on for maybe 2 years. 2 years! They hung on for barely a week, not even a week. Of course, that would have made a big difference in the exit and the exit strategy, right? If you think back to the spring, the State Department ordered the departure of non-essential personnel from the embassy in Kabul. The overall assessment from the intelligence world was that a Taliban takeover was at least 18 months to 2 years away. So watching this fall and looking at now what some, who many are anonymous, who are saying, well, this is clearly not what we thought, that there was evidence of the collapse of the Afghan forces. And, you know, now there's blame being pointed out everywhere, including the statements from the White House that say that there was an intelligence failure, and the intelligence community is saying, don't blame us because we knew that this wasn't looking good. So there's a lot of finger pointing that's going on. A lot of serious breakdowns had to have happened for this giant miscommunication on what it would look like. It'll take weeks, maybe months, maybe a year to complete the sort of picture of what really happened in the process that led to the chaos that we all saw and seemed to witness through all the video that was released in the last couple of days. So clearly, in this whole withdrawal, that's where the bungle happened. I mean, we went to Afghanistan almost 20 years ago with what goal? Get the people who attacked us on September 11, 2001, and make sure Al-Qaeda couldn't use Afghanistan as a base to attack us again. And it's very sad and gut-wrenching to, again, see what has gone on with this withdrawal, because my heart breaks for so many families, Gold Star mothers, who lost sons and daughters to this effort, and they should hold their head very high and proudly still for what they did in serving our country. But it's very, very discouraging to watch what has unfolded in Afghanistan and the incoherent strategy as to how to withdraw from a place that we stayed too long in the first place. Meet you on the flip side.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
Traders, listen up. As life in America starts to return to normal, are you looking for the best trading opportunities? With the current real estate market, the rise of crypto, and the volatility of tech stocks, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text the word money to 813-813 to learn how our technology analyzes over 1 million data points per day. Text the word money to 813-813 so you can learn how to predict market trends up to 3 days in advance with incredible accuracy. Whether you're trading stocks, options, Forex, futures, futures or crypto. Vantage Point's patented artificial intelligence can give you a massive edge. Text MONEY to 813-813 to find out how to maximize your gains. Text the word MONEY to 813-813 to learn how to use the volatility to your advantage. Don't wait. Text the word MONEY to 813-813 now.
By texting in, you consent to receive calls, voice, and text messages using automated technology regarding offers by or on behalf of Vantage Point.
It's about time for the 15th anniversary of Sunny Bay. And it may be our 15-year anniversary, but it's your chance at winning from weekly drawings in our contest for better health. We owe our success to you, GCN listeners. So as our thanks, you may win our grand prize, an Amazon gift card, plus Sunny Bay's complete set of superior pain relief products and services with a total prize value up to $4,152. How do you enter the Sunny Bay 15th anniversary contest for better health? Easy. Just click sunny-bay.com. No purchase necessary. Remember, there will be weekly drawings. Yes, it's our 15th anniversary, and it's your chance to win in Sunny Bay's 15th anniversary contest for better health. For complete contest rules and prize values, visit sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
Facebook with some great big plans for the first ever Elevate by Black Summit, an incredible opportunity with a training event that's free. It's a one-day virtual summit hosted by comedian, actress, and podcast host Michelle Boutte. Rachel Hawk, marketing manager for small business at Facebook, joins us. Rachel, give us more details.
This month, we're so excited to put a spotlight on Black-owned small businesses and offer a new training event, the Facebook Elevate by Black Summit. So many small businesses have suffered incredible loss over the last year, but Black-owned small businesses have been disproportionately affected by higher closure rates and lost sales. This virtual event will give new tools, insights, and inspirations for businesses on their road to recovery.
Rachel, where can we go for more information to sign up for the event?
To learn more about the Buy Black Summit or sign up to attend the event, go to facebook.com/BuyBlackSummit.
Thanks, Rachel. Again, Facebook.com, Buy Black Summit.
For the love of money.
Are going to make some money for good behavior. Is it worth it? Meanwhile, it's the world's biggest craps table. The Dow Jones S&P 500 snapped a streak of 5 days of record highs. So what's going on stability-wise when it comes to the market? Let's look at the dollars and cents of a couple of things. And the president allocating some big bucks to evacuate Afghani refugees amid this Taliban takeover, although I think with the shock and awe that we've all seen with the video, most won't complain about that. Let's talk first about the Big Apple paying some money to young criminal offenders. You know how much they're going to pay them for good behavior? $1,000 a month. $1,000. It's a pilot program that is upsetting many people for a plan to pay for the continued involvement of those who are being good juvenile-wise and not getting into trouble, getting a paycheck for $1,000. Mayor Bill de Blasio and public advocate Jermaine Williams announced back in March the intention for this pilot program. The program is being tested through five police precincts, one in each of the New York City boroughs. So what was said during a press conference back in the spring, and I remember this, that there was an approach as to what can we do to utilize the advanced peace model. So under this program, the city will conduct outreach in areas with high levels of gun violence to identify those who are at risk for gun violence. Select those people, then invite them to join what they're calling the Peacemaker Fellowship, which would pair mentees with individual neighborhood change agents, is what they call them. They would be mentored, and they would set up goals like a driver's license or getting a GED or doing something to advance them in some ways. So feeling the mayor that moving forward and building communities where they can feel supported and protected would start here. So that stipend, $1,000 per month, will just continue to flow, and it has happened in past cities that have used the program. So they get paid more money for achieving their established goals. New York City has $1 million to spend on this for this pilot program to see if it works. Giving gangsters, basically, that's what it is, $1,000 to do things like go to therapy, get the driver's license, as I mentioned, and a few other things. So you can imagine that there are some that think that de Blasio is out of his mind and that this program won't work. But here's the thing. You got to think about what's going on in the mind of some of these kids, because they're kids. So this first was rolled out in Richmond, California. Then it was picked up in Sacramento, Stockton, and Fresno. Fort Worth, Texas also has used this. People just don't know that much about it. And because it's in New York, it made big headlines, and it's easy to just, you know, crack on it. But is it working? I mean, here's the thing. What does that mean? What does the difference mean? And what do the stats show? In Richmond, they're saying that this advanced peacemaker idea, the statistics show gun-related assaults fell 66% between 2010 and 2017, and that by listening to the data and listening to what was happening, seeing what was happening with their own eyes, it was working. So fair or foul, is this way out of left field, so to speak, and perhaps a little bit of wishful thinking, or no, is it smart? If you have $1 million to spend and you spend it in the right direction, will the people that take advantage of this be able to shut down the rest of the network in some of these neighborhoods? And that's what I would say. So does it mean some people get rescued and get out? Or does it mean that they get mentored, get help, have goals, do the follow through, and actually pay it forward to others in the community who could be picked up for robberies or other crimes with guns? And that's the kind of statistics I want to see. Let's get some hardcore statistics behind this, and I'm skeptical about that, sadly, because, hey, if it works, it works. I mean, if you cut down on innocent kids, stray bullets, you know, getting killed by bullets that ricochet because some gang members are getting on somewhere, and we read too many of those sad stories, well, amen. If you can clean up areas where there are unfortunately some really sad, sad stories, and kids are pulled in to the network of selling drugs because they have no other choice. They're basically forced to do it or lose their lives in some other way or risk it, then absolutely. The Dow Jones, the S&P, snap in half. Not snap in half, I guess. I shouldn't say that because it wasn't quite 7 days, but it was like 5 days. But the Dow fell 282 points. The S&P and the NASDAQ both were down less than a point, but they had some pretty decent highs. And we've had retail sales declining in July. That was part of it, to slow down, you know, what was a pretty big boost in the market. And then yet Walmart report earnings and revenue that exceeded Wall Street estimates because of back-to-school shopping. So there's a little bit of lift there. You look at your blue-chip stocks. I'm not giving stock advice, but I'm just looking at the tea leaves that are easily left out to see what went well in the market and what, you know, didn't go well. It's about those quarterly reports with some of the big companies. And then, of course, you look at crude oil, and crude oil slid 70 cents to $66.59 a barrel. And gold also went down $1.92 to $17.85 an ounce. And those are kind of the things that you look at. And then, of course, any kind of negative news, right? Anytime you get a bounce from anything that's a bit negative, that's where you'll see that, you know, really, you'll see that really, really start to rock a little bit. And then part of that is because of sell-offs and whatnot. It's very, very strange to read the market. I mean, you look at futuristically, where are we? You look at these booster shots that are being talked about. You look at all kinds of things to kind of look in your own crystal ball to figure out, you know, where are we headed? One thing I can tell you is it's $500 million at least to evacuate the Afghani refugees with this Taliban takeover. So the refugees, so many of them helping the U.S. soldiers, etc. So this was laid out in a memo to Secretary of State Tony Blinken. They say the funds are specifically for the purpose of meeting unexpected, urgent refugee and migration needs of refugees, victims of conflict, and other persons at risk as a result of the situation in Afghanistan. So there is a thing called the Migration Refugee Assistance Act of 1962. It does allow any president to assist refugees displaced in foreign conflicts, and that's what that's being used for. Watching, again, what we started with, Kabul's airport being overwhelmed in the last couple of days as we see the thousands of desperate Afghans looking for a way out of the country, and the Taliban seizing control of most of the country's territory, which there is the fear of reprisals for those who gave assistance to U.S. forces over the last two decades. So safe passage of civilians from Afghanistan is what the National Security Advisor, Jake Sullivan, talked about. And there's been some resistance when trying to get to the airport. So how do you get to the airport? That's the thing. If you're not at the airport, how do you get to the airport and outfox the Taliban? Because they're not letting you through. And this is the dilemma that some of those people face in trying to maneuver their way out of the country. And I don't know what the answer to that is. I'm sure they're looking for ways to do that. But, boy, pretty hard, I think, with how strategic they were and where they immediately set up checkpoints, Taliban checkpoints. Pretty tough to just go right forward through the airport. There'd have to be other ways to get to the airport. And I think that's what's so stressful for so many of these people. Your mind still on Afghanistan, floods, the drought, some of the things that we've been talking about. And a few lighter moments, too, as well. Good for you. You can send me any thoughts, including good jokes. I'm always up for a good joke. To Kate is KateDelaneyRadio.com. I'm making moves. Check the mail next.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR IVR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
Arizona's governor has issued an executive order banning cities and counties in his state from enacting vaccine mandates for their employees. Governor Doug Ducey's order comes a day after the city of Tucson voted to implement a mask mandate and covers the gap before a state law that prohibits local governments from enacting vaccine mandates goes into effect at the end of September. Tucson's Mayor Regina Romero has pushed back against the governor's order, calling it legally meaningless. And the death toll in the 7.2 magnitude earthquake that struck Haiti over the weekend has reached nearly 2,000 as rescue efforts continue after Tropical Storm Grace stopped them with its arrival. Officials say that 1,941 people have died in the quake, with nearly 10,000 injured. UNICEF has estimated that about 1.2 million people have been affected by the natural disaster that struck some of the most isolated areas in the country. Officials say many homes have been destroyed, leaving people without shelter and limited or no access to fresh water, food, or health care. This is USA Radio News. The Secretary of State under President Trump says the previous administration had a different plan to pull troops out of Afghanistan. Lance Pry reports.
Former CIA Director and President Trump's Secretary of State Mike Pompeo on Fox News weighs in on the collapse of Afghanistan.
We had come to an understanding with our adversaries, the Taliban. We weren't about to recognize them. We weren't about to beg them to protect our embassy. We made clear these are the expectations, these are conditions that you have to meet. They hadn't met them, and so we were continuing to our work to get our boys and girls home, but we weren't about to allow what we've seen happen these last 96 hours happen on our watch.
From the West Coast USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
U.S. military officials say that the pace of evacuation flights out of Kabul's airport will be increasing as more troops arrive to help secure the airfield. About 4,000 are currently on the ground, with a total of 7,000 having been ordered to the country to assist with evacuation efforts. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
You have mail, mistress.
What? Dig in the mailbag.
Constantly pump the virtual mail in to the mailbag. I'm in the room and I am just covered in your thoughts. The mail. Wow. By the way, you can always jump on the phone lines to 855-266-5283. Your reaction, and many of you had a reaction, this that the administration, now they're pointing fingers all over the place. We may not really get to the bottom of it as to whose fault was it about the withdrawal from Afghanistan. The president defending the U.S. withdrawal after a month ago, saying that he expected that it would hold up, they would be fine, the military could defend themselves, and then those who said, oh, well, 18 months, they should be okay, and then it falls within a week, and there are senior administration officials who were speaking to the media anonymously to talk about the classified intelligence reports, saying that even in July they knew the situation was getting volatile and the intelligence agencies didn't have a clear prediction of any kind of an imminent Taliban takeover. They weren't sure. They didn't have a high confidence of judgment as to the certainty of what was going to happen as far as how long it would hold up in Kabul, etc. And so the blame game rolls forward, and many of you were stunned by some of those images that I talked about from just the other day. Like this one from Jim, who is listening to us in Tucson, Arizona, on 10:30 a.m. Kate, love the shout-outs to Arizona and your love for my great state. Yes, we are dying for water. While you talk about the floods and what has happened in your area and other parts of the country, boy, not that we want to have floods and have people in low-lying areas in trouble, but we could certainly use more than a spritz of water here and there. And you talked about the reservoir, but that's something to talk about another time. I am just disgusted by the administration and how they withdrew the troops from Afghanistan and how exposed the people are who helped us in our efforts in the past couple of decades just to leave, you know, not only those people trapped, but lots of Americans trapped in Afghanistan and dodging a nightmare right and left. And we still don't really know ultimately what will happen. I think they're in damage control mode. And finally, the president cut his vacation short because everybody's watching to see what's happening. The timing is the worst. Certainly, you can't put everything on his shoulders, but when you are the leader of the free world, he did say the buck stopped with him, you need every bloody chance in looking at every analysis of what's happening to make sure that you get the best kind of withdrawal that you can get. And I don't think that we had that best kind of withdrawal. It was never going to be a great situation in Afghanistan. People were frustrated. People were worried about continuing to pour too much of our resources into that area, and ultimately would that military ever be able to stand on its own? And I think you pretty much answered that question. The answer is no. You had many people on, I remember, over the past couple of years talking about that, analyzing that. People who served, people who were disturbed, people who were proud to have served, but also were worried about what was happening to the people in some of the villages where they were there, aiding them, like in trying to find ways to create more access and roads, etc. So it is sad, it is disturbing, and somebody should answer for, again, that disgraceful way that we left Afghanistan. Hear, hear. Well thought out, I agree. Yes, absolutely. Those are the things that I've been saying. You know, what's wrong with the picture is the withdrawal. I mean, there's no excuse, first of all, for not extracting Americans from Afghanistan. The fact that you have the sight of those helicopters, like people desperate. And, you know, in my mind, I just, and I know this is a kind of a stretch when I think of an analogy. If I don't want to use a real-time war situation, like people are talking about Saigon, I think of the images from the movie World War Z and the way the people were wildly escaping zombies, as I said the other day. This is exactly what it looked like to me. People running after planes, diving to just get any piece of the plane, thinking that they could hold on to just get out. It's so desperate to get out of the country. And, you know, again, this crisis mode, was this what had to happen in the middle of what we knew was going to be a Taliban potential takeover? I don't see how that is surprising because of what we heard from so many people. It's crazy to me. I mean, what we're looking at is an embarrassment in U.S. history, not for the people who serve, because God bless them. They were brave. They helped people. They served the country. Absolutely. When we needed it, when we were invested there. But the withdrawal is the thing. How did this happen that way and to be shocked and to say that we were surprised by how quickly, you know, the Taliban took over. All right, so I have so many of those that I could go to. I'm just going to go to one more. This one is from Fred, and Fred says, "Hi, Kate. Both of my sons served in Afghanistan. Thank you, Lord, they came back in one piece, although both of them had treatment for PTSD and they lost friends and there were some harrowing moments when they were there. I'm proud of what they did, but I am absolutely disgusted by what has happened with this withdrawal, trusting that somehow the military that was cobbled together and trained and by all rights had much time to get it together, that they were not going to be able to make it and that we didn't have a better evacuation plan, especially withdrawing troops and then hurriedly getting more troops there to try to pull out Americans, especially, and then the people who aided us who have their heads, no kidding, on a chopping block. What do you think the Taliban stands for? Terrorists. What did they learn from the past? That's what you got to ask yourself, because certainly they've been in that situation when you think of the Taliban and letting go of the country, they certainly learned something about what would happen this time around. And clearly, we were not prepared for what was going to happen. We have some of the brightest minds in the world, as you like to say, but boy, they were sure dumb when it came to putting this strategy in place. Thank you for your son's service, both of your sons. And yeah, I mean, that's it. So you can talk about inheriting a deal from a past president and the president before and then the president before that and Democratic presidents and Republican presidents. But in the end, okay, this is the deal. We're going to withdraw. We have plenty of time to talk about this. We have lots of time to analyze this. How do we make this as smooth as possible, as safe as possible for the people who helped us and especially for the Americans who are there? Imagine if those Americans were stuck. Luckily, getting out, you know, and even at one point they were talking about at the White House during a presser, Jen Psaki was asked, well, is there a guarantee that the Americans that are stranded are going to get out? And they wouldn't guarantee it. Well, by August 31st, all the Americans will be out. I don't know that I would place my bet on that. We do know that it's just a cobbled group that are still there, but how can we guarantee that they will get out? One thing that was smart that was stopped is there have been, and you know this, right, there's been money that's been shipped to Afghanistan, and they stopped the shipments to Afghanistan to keep cash away from the Taliban. Because you know what the whole thing is, follow the money, follow the money. So luckily that happened, because otherwise millions of dollars would have gone to the terrorist group. So that would have been just another thing that would have hit us right between the eyes, and it didn't. All right, so let's move to this one. Let's go to John, who says, Kate, boy, do we need some lighthearted entertainment. Every day, looking at what's happening around the world, looking at what's happening here in our own backyards, hearing the sad stories about somebody who was vaccinated, and then they got a breakthrough, and then they're on a ventilator, and then they're dying. It's just so much to take in our world right now. I have to tell you that I know that you are a binge watcher, and there are some good things to binge out there, including a show that I wasn't high on at first, but decided I would watch after my wife started watching. It's called White Lotus, and it has some humorous moments in it, and it's about a hotel and the people that get together in this hotel, separate people, but their stories as they go to this hotel in Hawaii. I'm wondering if you've seen it. It's so funny you say that, because the hub said to me, almost like you said, like, well, okay, so what can we watch that's not heavy after everything that we're seeing, that you're talking about, that, you know, we're researching? And his pick was
kind of reluctantly the White Lotus, and it does have sort of dark humor. There is dark humor to it, right? But I watched it. Yes, it was. There were some funny things that happened at this hotel, or these people for different backgrounds, you know, arriving in Hawaii, and then what happens with the staff and how they deal with them. And yeah, I'd give it a thumbs up, a couple of thumbs up if you were looking for something to stream. And it's a short series now, and it just wrapped, so I think it's like 5 or 6 episodes, something like that. We're bouncing on out, and I'll meet you for the mic drop next. Facebook with some great big plans for the first ever Elevate by Black Summit, an incredible opportunity with a training event that's free. It's a one-day virtual summit hosted by comedian, actress, and podcast host Michelle Boutte. Rachel Hawk, marketing manager for small business at Facebook, joins us. Rachel, give us more details.
This month, we're so excited to put a spotlight on Black-owned small businesses and offer a new training event, the Facebook Elevate by Black Summit. So many small businesses have suffered incredible loss over the last year, but Black-owned small businesses have been disproportionately affected by higher closure rates and lost sales. This virtual event will give new tools, insights, and inspirations for businesses on their road to recovery.
Rachel, where can we go for more information to sign up for the event?
To learn more about the Buy Black Summit or sign up to attend the event, go to facebook.com/Buy Black Summit.
Thanks, Rachel. Again, facebook.com/Buy Black Summit.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Right now, millions of Americans have an uneasy feeling about the future. That's why they're quietly stockpiling as much emergency food as they can. What about you? Do you have enough emergency food to get you through a prolonged crisis? If not, take a moment to shop My Patriot Supply. We're America's leader in emergency preparedness and survival. Since 2008, we've served several million American families like yours. In fact, our mission is your survival. So head on over to MyPatriotSupply.com and grab a few of our tasty emergency food kits. Our food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage and is shipped quickly and discreetly to your door. One day, you might be eating breakfast, lunch, or dinner while everyone else is standing in a food line. Avoid that. It's too late to act once the other shoe drops. It's time to be self-reliant and prepared. And now you can. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Tail end of the show, but oh, don't go. We've got a couple of really good mic drop moments. You know, when you're sitting in your house, you ever hear where it sounds like someone's doing donuts outside? And I don't know how close you live to the freeway. Maybe you don't even have to be. You don't have to be at a freeway. I mean, I've seen people in the middle of Iowa do donuts right through a field one time. So check this out when it comes to, I guess, what you would call a burnout is what they call it in Jersey. So the New Jersey Turnpike, what's now been happening is there's a problem with people who are, and this happened just a couple of days ago, I guess it's some smarty pantses, or whatever you want to call them, I'll be nice about it, who are driving Camaros. There's like three of them. And they're doing this up and down the New Jersey Turnpike. And what they're doing is they're doing burnouts on the Turnpike. So, you know, three of them are turning the Camaros. They stopped traffic a couple of days ago on Interstate 78 heading west after a big toll plaza. And they just, you know, whipped around and did those donut rolls is what I call them, but burnouts, whatever you want to call them. And what happens is the smoke just spills out, you know, and it just blocks up the lanes, right? Because, you know, the situation is that you can't see, and they're, and I saw a video of this, and they're blocking the view because of, again, the excessiveness of kind of hot rodding and causing the, you know, causing the smoke to fly up and just be relentless about the donuts. But it's not really a complete donut. They just kind of meander sort of around and around and around. And they've done this in a couple of different places, I guess, again, up and down the Turnpike, where they end up stopping traffic. And somehow nobody can get to them, meaning if the cops are trying to get to them, they can't do that. If the state is patrolling, they can't do that. So I don't know. Is it just me, or aren't there back roads where you can do this? I mean, I'm all for having fun. And if you're that dude that has the cool Camaro or whatever, aren't there other places where you can do this other than screwing up the visibility of some of the people who are driving, causing them to get in little wrecks and just doing this from one spot to another and meandering along an entire turnpike, really messing with the karma of Jerseyites and others who are on the turnpike? So give me a break. Give them a road. That's what I say, right? What's wrong with the three people in the Camaro where they can't find some other place where they can do it? I guess it's the thrill of that, right? The thrill of kind of juking with people on a very, very busy highway. I just don't know how it hasn't been a more severe accident. So I'm going to say if New Jersey wants to save some of the people from this mayhem on the turnpike, create some sort of area where people who want to do donuts, call it the donut exit, where they want to do donuts, they can go and get their donuts off, and they can go and do that next to the turnpike somewhere on an offshoot, right? So, to me, that's the mic drop moment. I don't hear the mic drop. I guess they didn't agree. Oh, there it is. Was it a weak mic drop moment? I like the idea of having the offshoot. Why not have an off-ramp for donuts? All right, this one is actually even a little bit better. And again, it has to do with somebody in a car. A handcuffed man stole a Missouri cop car after driving another stolen car off a cliff. How do you do that? So this happened at Lake Ozark, and there were no injuries, luckily, in the lake of the Ozarks, where the suspect drove a car off a cliff, then stole a cop car while shackled and handcuffed, and tried to steal a boat to escape police. 26-year-old Kenny Rybolt, you bad boy, from Columbia, Missouri, was jailed and is facing 10 charges in multiple counties for the chase that could actually, some say, fit into the Netflix series that I loved, Ozark. So police got a call around 3 o'clock in the afternoon over the weekend, it was Saturday, that he was shoplifting at a Kohl's. They got there, and they tried to block his car, but he rammed one cop car, drove off, and then the car was later determined to be stolen, so it wasn't his car, as they assumed. He made it all the way 2 miles down a busy road before crashing head-on into another person's car. He tried to run in this runoff in the stolen car, basically flee in the stolen car, but drove straight off the roadway and went off a cliff above the highway. So he still was going to make the great escape. He ran to a nearby intersection, attempted to carjack somebody, stopped at the light. He was then caught by the cops, handcuffed behind his back and shackled around his ankles, and placed in the back seat of the car. Somehow he was able to get Houdini, able to get his hands out from behind his back, broke through the cage, cut into the front seat, and took off. Wow. So they lost sight of him again at that point. But then he crashed into a neighborhood. A caller immediately called up and said he was trying to steal their car. How many times does he get to steal cars? And then he broke into a home that wasn't occupied. He stole the keys to a boat, ran down to the dock trying to take it. And when he arrived at the dock, he saw that the Missouri State Water Patrol had already gotten there. So what do you do when you can't jump in the escape boat this time around? He jumped into the water and tried to hide underneath the dock. So they jumped in the water and they apprehended him again. And he was, by the way, when they apprehended him, shackled and handcuffed still. That's incredible. Maybe that truly is the mic drop moment. Do I hear the mic drop? Oh, my gosh. This is like bad joke night. I think it's shocking how many times he was able to steal cars, escape, fly off a cliff, and do all of that. And then in the end, almost jumped in a boat and was able to get away in a boat. But luckily, the water patrol was there, and they were able to get him. So, I mean, how many chances does one person get? He had a lot of them. So he turned in a masterful performance in what could have just been stealing a few things at a Kohl's. It turned into much worse. So he's not going to like the time that he ultimately will probably get, since they have all this documented, and I don't think he'll be able to dispute it. And I can't imagine he's going to get a nothing sentence for all the things that he did. But I wonder if he has a way to escape prison once they lock him up, because he seems to have found a way to evade the police. Yeah, seriously. Crazy. All right, a few other things have happened that I haven't even mentioned that are horrible, that are happening across the U.S. And I always say, again, this show is about the buzz in your backyard and mine. How about this Storm Fred rain, serious damage in Georgia? While some states in the West are dealing with this horrible drought, much different story when it comes to Fred that just flipped through the panhandle in Florida and then was wicked in Georgia. I mean, high winds. You saw tree limbs down in Sumter County and Georgia, and all kinds of, you know, power lines were down because of the heavy rain on Tuesday, and finally it weakened, and that's a good thing. So you got emergency crews that are repairing the power lines, clearing the toppled trees in the wake of Fred. Never a dull moment when you live in these United States, right? And then the fires in the West, the Dixie Fire, threatening more Northern California towns. They say this fire could go on for another couple of months. Wow, so many firefighters really putting it on the line out there. We thank you for that, but I know they're simply exhausted. Thanks to all of you for listening to this hour of the show. Remember, you can get me 24/7, kate@katedelaneyradio.com. This is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you?
So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.